Good morning, everybody. Welcome to St. Kieran's. What a privilege it is for me to share God's word with you this morning. I would like to thank Reverend Mike and the leadership once again for this great privilege and opportunity that I have to be with you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you this morning. We can come together in your precious name. I want to pray for each person that's listening today. Lord, you know where they are and what their needs are. And so I bring them to you and thank you for your presence in Jesus' name. Today is Pentecost Sunday, a lovely time of the year to remember what God did for us as a church. I want to just give you a very brief introduction. Pentecost is a Greek word for 50 day, was originally called the Feast of Weeks or Shavuot. It is the Jewish festival commemorating the 50th day of Passover. That was the day that God gave the law to the people of Israel from Mount Sinai. I want to just share with you from Acts chapter 2 this morning, and I'm going to read from verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire and separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I just want to pause and just remind you that at Bethlehem, God is with us. At Calvary, it was God for us. At Pentecost now, it's God in us. This is the phenomenon that God designed to inaugurate the birth of the church, and he used Pentecost for that. I saw a lovely story about three dads that were in a delivery room waiting for their little babies to be born, and it wasn't very long before a midwife came in and turned to the first dad and said to him, oh, congratulations, sir. Your wife's just given birth to twins. And he was so delighted, and he said, isn't it amazing? I work for a firm called G2. And a couple of minutes later, the midwife came back and turned to the second dad and said, ah, sir, congratulations. Your wife's just given birth to triplets. And he was a little slightly taken back, but then got very excited. He said, isn't that amazing? I work for a firm called 3M. And they turned around, and the third dad was down on his knees on the floor. And they said to him, what's wrong with you? And he said, well, to the first dad, he says, you work for a firm called G2 and your wife had twins. And the second dad, you work for a firm called 3M and your wife has just had triplets. And he says, I want you to know I work for a firm called 7UP. So no wonder he was shocked and taken back by that. I want to just encourage you once again today as we look at this phenomena that God designed to inaugurate the birth of the church called Pentecost. We are the church, folk, and if I can re-emphasize that again, we are the church. This is our story. This is our history. Now, remember, in the first chapter in the book of Acts, we read about the preparation for the birth of the church. Now, when we come to chapter 2, we will experience through the lens of the Holy Scripture the actual beginning of the church. In chapter 1, the disciples are waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, he arrives. In chapter 1, the disciples were equipped for their ministry. In chapter 2, they're empowered for their ministry. In chapter 1, the believers are held back. In chapter 2, they're sent out. Their full resources to declare the gospel message to the ends of the earth are put into place by the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And so we see the fulfillment of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But the first part of that verse says, but you shall receive power. The meaning of Pentecost, I think, can be summarized in one particular word called change. Now, change is very interesting because if we look at the life of Peter before Pentecost and the life of Peter after Pentecost, we see a person that changed phenomenally. I also just want to remind you about Luke chapter 24, verse 49 says, with Jesus speaking, he says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Folk, just to remind you, power is either unleashed or harnessed. If it's unleashed, it is pretty dangerous, but if you can harness power, it's phenomenal. And we see through the book of Acts, as the church harnesses, inverted comma, the power of the Holy Spirit, we see amazing fellowship. We see worship taking place, we see services taking place, we see teachings taking place and many other things as it's harnessed. So as I said to you, I felt that the word, the meaning of Pentecost is changed. So if we look at Peter, for example, in the prior to Pentecost, you see him doing some phenomenal things like walking on the water. But Peter was also the one that Jesus challenged, and he said, "You're going to deny me." And he said, "No, I'll never do that." And as we know, as the scripture teaches us, he did deny the Lord. And then he deserted Jesus, basically. But now here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, the same Peter, after the Pentecost and after the Holy Spirit experience, we read in verse 14, he says the following: "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.'" You can almost hear him starting to really get fired up in preaching. He says, "In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." And he carries right on to verse 21, which to me is the most beautiful of all of them. It says, "For and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Just think about this for a few moments. On that particular Pentecost Sunday, there was an amazing birthing experience that took place. Something like 3,000 people gave their hearts to the Lord and came into the God's kingdom. So as I mentioned to me, the meaning of Pentecost is simply change. The point of Pentecost, I believe, is the mission. Habakkuk helps us to explain that a little bit. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14 says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And then in Acts chapter 2, verses 32 to 33, Peter almost gives a bit of a theological aspect to this whole Pentecost experience when he says that God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Please note, at this point, Jesus was not merely resurrected, but he was also exalted and glorified. John says something very beautiful about the same point. He said, when he pointed out that the promise of the Holy Spirit could not be fulfilled until Jesus had been glorified. And so we enjoy the whole knowledge of Jesus being glorified as we go through Pentecost. Then he touches on something which I found really lovely about Pentecost, is what happens to the believers at that time. And reading from verse 42, I want to read it to you. And it's very interesting to pick up how many times the word "they" is used and how it encompasses everyone and all believers. And so let me read it to you today. It says in verse 42, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the disciples. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." What an incredible birth experience that was taking place amongst all the believers at that time. And I just love verse 42 when it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, which, praise God, is coming together a little bit now that COVID laws have been relaxed, to having communion and to prayer, and just getting together and enjoying each other's company. The most important change at Pentecost, I believe, was the way Peter then started to see the people. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, I would like to read it to you. It says, and this is Peter talking about you and I. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy." Deuteronomy also adds a little bit to this when God speaks and says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people." Another translation said, "You are a people for his treasured possessions out of all peoples who are on the face of the earth." Folk, I want to remind you, one of the most amazing things that starts coming out from Pentecost onwards, that you and I are special people. That word special, if you look it up in Deuteronomy, is very interesting. It really means that it means to enclose, it means to lock up or put away like precious jewels or treasures that are embraced close to the heart. May his love at this Pentecost embrace you and me today. I just love Pentecost at this time. And just I want to remind you again that in Bethlehem, he was with us. At Calvary, he's for us. At Pentecost, he is in us. Let us pray together. Lord, thank you again for Pentecost. Thank you for the church. Lord, we need each other. We can't do without each other. And I want to pray today for every person that has been listening to this message today, that you would strengthen them and guide them and be with them in a very special way. And now let's just do the benediction together. Now to him is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory. With great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen. Have a great and very, very blessed week. Amen. Thank you.